Blog Talk Radio.
Well, everybody, it's Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. I'm very privileged to have an innovator, a tech innovator, and a comic book creator. She has worked out at Silicon Valley for quite a while and has now launched what's going to be a very interesting app that actually brings comic books to life on tablets and on many different platforms. I think it's absolutely wonderful to be able to have something like this, especially for comic book lovers. I know some are just so diehard into actually having and feeling the book, but this is going to take it to the next level, definitely. Her book is called Against the Grain, and that's also the name of the app. I'm really thrilled to have Eric Austin on with us right now. How are you doing, Erica?
I'm awesome. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. Tell me a little bit, first of all, about how the app came about.
Well, the app came about because, actually, I'm going to start from the book itself. Well, a lot of these kids, our target demographic, are between the ages of maybe 10 to about 20. And these kids nowadays, they really want downloads, and they want them, you know, like I said in my press release, they want them now. You know what I mean? I like the feel of a good book in my hand, but when I went to the different comic conventions like C2E2, which is held here in Chicago every year in April, all these kids would come up to me and say, well, do you have an app? Do you have Facebook? Do you have Twitter? Or can I download it? Do you have an IQ code or whatever that code is? I'm like, I'm old school. I want a book in my hand. You know what I mean? And I was toying with the idea of animation for a while, and every time I would see the stories, I would see it play out in my head. I would hear the music, and I would hear the voiceover, you know. So it just kind of fell in line when all these kids started asking for, you know, well, do you have it as an app rather than as a book? And so we wanted to separate ourselves and not just come up with an e-book. You know, how do we take that to the next level? And since I was already toying with the idea of animation, I said, you know what? Yeah, let's go for it. Let's do it. So that's kind of how it came to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to be able to see, because I was reading about the app and the model that you have. You know, not only is it a 2D kind of rendering, but you are working into some 3D images as well, and it gives you a lot different experience than you would getting a regular technically quote unquote hardcover book. But what were some of the hurdles that you've had to overcome in terms of developing the app?
In developing the app, it was more we went through quite a few different artists, you know, and we had a few bumps in the road. Now we have like a team that is dedicated and is in sync with kind of our vision, you know. So that was one hurdle. Another hurdle was the 3D was a big challenge, you know, because I'm not sure if you're familiar with the 3D process, but you have to go from model sheets, you know, to rendering, to rigging, and then, you know, then the animation, then you have all, you know, the background, the lighting, and all that stuff, you know. So you have to learn that, you know, you have to kind of work with a group of people to do that. Not one person can do it. If they tell you that they can do it, they're probably strong in one area and not as strong in other areas. So 3D was a challenge, but it was fun, you know. 2D, the biggest challenge was the music, on trying to find the right individual, the right group to again see the vision and take it to that next level. So it was more kind of like the personnel, the group that was going to be working on the app. That was a challenge. And lastly, bringing it to the app store, you know. So every little thing was a learning experience. You know, it was like, okay, because we're new to the medium. You know, I've loved comic books since I was a kid, but it was, I don't want to give the impression like, oh, you know, I'm seasoned, and it was something, it's been a learning experience, and we've learned a lot, and we're in better shape as a company, in 2015 than when we started.
What's been the reaction so far from the readers, and, you know, have they been helpful in terms of what you can, what you're looking at as the future of the app?
Yeah, I think we're going to put in more animation, for one. We're actually in the process of changing our home screen because we got some feedback on that. People are just absolutely loving it. I don't think it's clear that some of our older readers even though they like a good feel of a book in their hands, but a lot of them do have a Kindle on iPad and they have iBooks on there and they read that. And a lot of people are under the impression that, you can only, once you go through, you see a couple of pages, and then it springs into life in these videos that are animated either in 2D or 3D. But you do have the choice to go in between either reading just the book as it is or going with animations on. So there is that feature. So I remember a couple of people saying, "Well, I'm old school and I'd rather read." Well, there is, if you don't want to watch the video there, you can turn that off and you can just read the comic book as is.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, yeah, some people just like to read it, and just kind of enjoy the moment, as it were, too. So it's great to be able to see that as well. It's really because it's an interesting platform, and it's something that is kind of innovative right now in terms of the comic book world. Let's talk a little bit about your background, though. I mean, how did you get started in reading comics?
My father was the one who brought the comics to me. I remember Calvin Hobbes, Asterix comics. Asterix is French, but it's translated in so many different languages, and it's available around the world. And I had like every issue growing up. I remember Tintin, so that's kind of how I got started. It wasn't something that I went and I picked up myself. My father was a very, very forward thinking man, kind of like ahead of his time. I'm not boasting, I'm just saying it's my dad, he didn't believe in boys, girls versus girls toys. And so he wanted us to be exposed to as much as possible without being limited in any sense. So it was really my father that was at the forefront the person who helped to build the person I am in my financial. In fact, the first book for Against the Grain, in the very beginning, it's talking about Leslie and her dad and the father talking about, well, I don't believe in boys, girls, or girls toys type of thing. I'll get what I want for my kid. It's done in a very funny way, but that's lifted right from my own experiences, my father.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he got you started on that as well. I mean, what were some of the things that you've grown to like when you were a kid? And, you obviously had certain comics that your father bought, but you obviously had other tastes as well in terms of your comics. But what were some of the comics that you grew up on in terms of your reading?
Calvin Hobbes, like I mentioned, that was my favorite throughout. Asterix and Calvin and Hobbes. Like I said, Asterix is a European or French comic, but Calvin and Hobbes has always been. In fact, I have like four or five issues of Calvin and Hobbes upstairs. So those were the two main ones, So.
I mean, that's great to hear. I find it interesting because, it seems like right now they're starting to get a lot more female coders coming out and wanting to make their way through the computer business. I mean, it's been the male dominated business for such a long time as well. And you've had experience with that as well. I mean, what was it like for you to kind of go through the computer portion of your career and, kind of navigate through that? And, what was it like being a woman in computing? Probably one of the first to kind of start doing that a little bit more upfront.
Two things. To your point, yes, it is a male dominated field. And when I go working with IBM and going through different consulting gigs and whatnot, I find that I'm the only woman on the team, whether it's either just a technical or when you're talking about project management or whatnot. I'd probably be, when it comes to business analysis or, business requirements or stuff like that, you might find a woman or two. But for the most part, in the technical field, yeah, I'd be the only woman. And now, here's the thing. Because of the way we were raised, I didn't know it was an issue. It was just like, okay, this is just how it is. Because I grew up in a multicultural environment, so I had people from India, people from all over Europe, people from America. It's very different than it is here, where it's kind of like there's a little bit of a, I don't want to say anything negative, but a separation. There's but you never saw that as a barrier. So I never saw my gender as a barrier. It's now that nowadays when people talk about equal pay for women and more roles in Hollywood for women, and you're talking about, you know, can a woman carry a role? And I mentioned in one interview where, right now, Carrie Washington is doing a great job with Scandal. It's one of the highest rated shows out there. You know, we have the Hunger Games, you know. So when I came to the U.S., I wasn't aware of this because it wasn't part of my psyche, you know. So, and that, again, more credit to my father, because I never saw my gender being, a hindrance to my growth in any way, shape, or form. So it may be different for me where, and I want to go back to, and I'm not saying I was in a bubble. I think you need to guard your thinking. Like, if you come in and you think you're an underdog or you think you're not good enough, it's going to affect the way you do your work and the way you interact with other people, you know? So, you know, my father always taught us to be, you know, open-minded and also outspoken, you know what I mean? So I really didn't have an issue at all being the only woman. It was like, okay, here's, you know, and here's the thing. Because my father exposed me to so much, to all of us, you know, I played video games, I played remote control car, I also played with dolls, you know, so I played with both toys. So yeah, I can hang with the boys and they're talking about the latest action movie. I can do that, and I can hang out with my girlfriends and watch chick flicks. So it didn't bother me to be the only woman, you know. So my experience is a little bit different than the average woman in the U.S. would be.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it seems like over the past couple years, I think it's over the past decade, we've seen women's roles become more prominent. It's become more acceptable for women to take into male-dominated roles, although there are still some people that are still set in their old ways, the old ways, and thinking that, you know, it's not a place for them to be. But it's great to be able to see so many people encourage. A good friend of mine actually runs a club that encourages, I think, middle schoolers to code. So she has her own little girls coding club going on too, which is absolutely amazing, to try to get some of these girls to go into the tech fields as well. And there is a push for women to come into STEM as well. So we're seeing a lot of people trying to make that leap and make that jump, where they're you know, it seems like it's more successful in society. And you know, like you said, thank God for your father that was very forward thinking in terms of what's going on now, in terms of that as well. So, I mean, it's great to be able to hear some of the successes that were. I mean, there are still some struggles, and like I said, some people are still backwards thinking out in Silicon Valley, but I think that's starting to change a lot, with a lot more girls coming into the realm as well. And I want to talk to you a little bit also about the comic books in general. You have a female heroine in your comics as well. I mean, we've seen that there's been a lot of development in terms of female heroines in terms of comic books over the past decade as well. What's kind of your thoughts on that?
I think because you have a lot more women writing. I mean, okay, let's be honest, you know what I mean? If you have a man writing, you know, they're most likely going to talk about their experience or their dreams and their aspirations, so you're going to see more male-dominated roles. So I think as more women come in, I mean, the reason why Kerry Washington is, you know, doing so well in Scandal, Shonda Rhimes, also female, is also the person, creator and writer for that, you know. Same thing, you know, with Hunger Games and what's Harry Potter, with J.K. Rowling, you know. So I think that a lot of more women are coming to the forefront, you know, and being able to, telling their story, you know. So I think once what's happening is you're seeing a lot more women coming into the field, you know. So I think, yeah, there's a lot more room, you know, and a lot more stories that need to be told, you know. So, and I think, and here's another thing that I think that, if you live in a society like one that's male dominated and women regarded in a certain manner, whether you're female or not, without you knowing it, you're going to take on those values and take on those ideas that are limiting. And maybe when you do write your story, it's about a character that's not as strong or not as or your typical stereotypical, you know, gender female roles. You know, I mean, a lot of women complain, okay, yeah, there are women, but she's either the girlfriend or the trophy or something that she, it's like she's not important. So what's changing is a lot of women are coming out and they're writing, you know, and a lot more women, you know, encourage a lot more women to write, you know.
Yeah, I agree that, you know, it's very interesting to say the least in terms of the society in general seeing that a lot more women writers, and there again there's another kind of campaign going on in terms of getting more women in the film realm to be producers and directors, and so they can get that push that way. I mean, there's only like I think 10% of the directors in Hollywood are female. And there's a push to try to make that number increased. So I'm very interested to see that as well. In terms of comics, I think it's probably a lot less, but I know that there's a lot of women that are, you know, are putting pen to paper, as it were, and really starting to make their marks on there as well. And that's happened over the past decade. We've seen a lot more titles that are very women-driven, women hero action-driven. Which is I think a new trend in that as well, to see more female action stars as well. I mean, what does it mean for you to be able to see that there are more kind of those driven kind of comics come out there right now?
I think it's a question. What does it mean to me for?
What does it mean to you to have a lot more comics out there that are more female driven and, you know, more driven towards a female action hero, and a gal that's not necessarily a damsel in distress, but somebody that saves her own self and saves the world?
Well, I think it's awesome. You know, I think we need to see more of that. You know what I mean? It's not, like you said, not just a damsel in distress. We have different stories. We there are so many different women, you know, they're strong. So, you know, some are more outspoken, some are, you know, so I mean, there's a lot of depth there. And, you know, so to see that happening is really great. But the for me growing up, the person that I loved growing up, it was again my father who introduced me to her. I didn't even know her name, was Jodie Foster. You know, and before my father passed away, you know, I remember he would because she had a very distinctive voice, and she'd come up. I think it was I can't remember what movie she was in. Maybe it was Flight Plan, I think it was, you know what I mean? I mean, he just, you know, he wasn't feeling too well, but he just sat right up. He's like, yeah, that's her movie, meaning that's the kind of movie she does. You know, she may be down and out, you know what I mean, but she's gonna find a way to fight her, you know what I mean? And I don't follow celebrities, but when I first came to the U.S., I, you know, because she has such a strong personality on screen, I thought she's like 6 feet, and it turns out she's pint-sized. She's about 5'3", you know, so yeah, a lot more women are coming out, and they're a lot stronger roles, like I said, like Hunger Games, you know. But the person throughout that it has always been like for the most part in her roles has played a strong female character as Jodie Foster. And that's the person I've looked at. Also, I love Angela Bassett, and I love Alfie Woodard and all the other women. But Jodie Foster has always been one that I've been like, oh my, she kicks butt. You know what I mean? So for the most part in her role that she's played on screen, I should say.
Yeah. Now, going into your comic, can you tell us a little bit about the story and a little bit about your characters in the comic?
Sure. Well, Against the Grain. Well, obviously, it's a graphic novel about our young heroine Leslie. She's 9 in book one, and she's a tomboy with a vivid and wild imagination. She's an outcast of sorts. She's a free spirit coming to terms with herself, the world around her, and the world in her head. The concept is fun and different, and it tells the coming-of-age stories of Leslie. And it alternates between her real life and her somewhat elaborate, bloodthirsty fantasy life. It transforms her fears and her new life phases into, like, superhero adventures. So what appeals to people the most is the storyline, and we advanced that storyline by adding animation, as we just discussed. So we use divergent and new styles in the comic, which I don't think has ever been done before. So you see Leslie the ninja, you see her Leslie in a Jurassic type world, you see her with aliens. So it weaves different stories together into a single, you know, narrative. And also the art for it, like I mentioned, the art for each section is different, and it changes to suit the style. So
like each comic book comes to life after several pages. And I think we're going to stick to 2D for the most part, like going back to your earlier question, because I think a lot of people are enjoying the 2D more than they are the 3D. But yeah, so that's, in a nutshell, that's what Against the Grain is about. It's about a graphic novel telling the coming-of-age stories of Leslie.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot more girls, you know, pick up a comic book nowadays too. You know, and they're not afraid to do that. They're not afraid to kick out that book. And you had mentioned that, you know, your father was, you know, was poignant in saying that there's no such thing as girls and boys toys. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing a lot more women in the market, more of these girls more open to want to get into the geek culture and to be able to read comic books as well. You know, this obviously appeals to that kind of demographic where these girls mm-hmm. are, you know, these are girls are tomboys. They want to, you know, they're action. They want to be action heroes as well. What's been the feedback for you in terms of your female audience, and you know, how has it been to be able to write something for them specifically, and you see the kind of their reactions?
Well, to your point, exactly what you just said, where I've a lot of women or a lot of young girls, I should say, have come up to me when I say young girls, I mean 17, 18, and say, you know what, I don't usually read comic books, you know, but I love this, you know. So that's the reaction we're getting. And even though most of the characters in the book are female, the heroine's female, you know what I mean? She's it appeals to both girls and boys. I think we had a great review from Aiden Cool News, and they said that it was an extremely fun comic that can appeal to pretty much everyone. So we went into this thinking, you know, because, you know, you have a female heroine, you know, and that it's all about her. We thought, okay, our demographic is girls. But it appeals to boys and girls. But the girls that are coming to us, for the most part, including the boys, are saying, you know, I don't usually read comic books, but I really love this. What's the next one coming out? And people who do read comic books love it as well. So I think it's great that we're able to break out of the comic world and reach people that are outside the comic world who probably wouldn't pick up a comic book.
Yeah, and speaking of which, you know, another question I wanted to ask you is about, you know, currently in the past year, we've seen that Marvel's been wanting to put more ethnicity in terms of their comics. They brought in a lot of different ethnic groups in terms of their relaunching of some of the characters as well. I mean, we're seeing some different really variety of people take up these mantles and take up these roles, different minorities as well. You know, how do you feel about now about the kind of the diversity of comics right now? Because obviously I think that everybody's going to enjoy it no matter what. Mm-hmm. But obviously it's going to appeal to a larger audience in the long run if they end up doing that more often.
Well, yeah, I think it's wonderful that that's happening now, because you can't, you want to represent everyone in society, and I think you're trying to break stereotypes and say, well, this is how certain people behave or how certain people are, and bringing those people in, and I mean, because America, I mean, it's a melting pot of people, so just showing one face or just showing just men, and again, like we talk about the women just being the trophy or just for eye candy, you know, I think, you know, it doesn't tell the whole story. I think there's a lot more interesting stories with people and diverse backgrounds. And that's one of the things, is in case, even though this is about Leslie and her coming of age story, there's a lot of diversity in our book, and a lot of people pointed that out. Again, I didn't notice it because I grew up in a diverse, with a diverse background and so many different cultures around me. So it was just something that I just automatically did naturally. So people coming up and really enjoying it. And I think as you get more diversity in, you'll see a lot more people open up. And maybe if you had like 10 million viewers watching, it might increase, you know, by, you know, tenfold or, you know, even 20-fold because you're including other people. You know, and not just one look or one type of people. You know what I mean? So yeah, I do like it because it includes everyone. You know, so I'm really excited. And for our comic, again, a lot of diversity. I think one of them, I love culture and I love the History Channel and that kind of stuff. I remember going over to Hawaii, and I went over to the cultural center and saw the different Polynesian tribes, and I was so enamored by them, and I actually put one kind of mixed a little bit of the different tribes together, and that's actually in the second book. So yeah, for me, I've always been fascinated by different cultures and different people. So coming over here and just seeing one type of story being told, well, after a while, it gets kind of boring. To include everybody else, I think you expand on the kind of story that you can tell.
Yeah, I think so too, and it's great to be able to be able to reach a wider audience and give a richer story that way too. As well. Looking at your comic, looking at the app and the comic both, what's the future hold for that? You said that there's going to be a second book coming out with the Against the Grain series?
Oh, no, there is the first and the second book already out. The third book should be coming out later on this year, and the fourth book should come out sometime next year.
Yeah, and then any word of maybe expanding the app to other titles, or are you going to put another title on there, or are you going to be set with the Against the Grain for a little bit?
No, actually, we're working on a spinoff called Marcus, and we have two books done. We don't have any animation yet. We just started the first animation probably a few weeks ago. So there is going to be a spinoff. We already have two books done with maybe. As far as the comic book pages are concerned, maybe another month or so we'll be done with it, and it just head in straight into animation. So, yeah, towards the end of the year, it's not just going to be book three of Against the Grain. We'll probably come out with either one or the first two books for Marcus. And also, we have interest in some people who want to use our app and want to actually kind of follow in our footsteps and kind of work, make their stuff more animated, So. So I'm excited about all the attention that's being brought to Against the Grain, and a lot of people kind of wanted to follow suit. So, but yeah, Against the Grain, first and second are available now. The third is coming out later this year. And then Marcus, we're almost done with two books as far as the comics are concerned, but the animation still needs to be done.
Yeah, I think that's the big deal of all this too. And not to mention that the comic's really, really good. But the fact that, this technology is something that is innovating the comic book culture right now, and it's going to be interesting to see what other upstarts try to do, and see if people do start to latch on to this technology, on your guys' technology in particular, in terms of that as well. So it's great to be able to see that as well. I can mention that that you guys can get a free issue of Against the Grain when you download the Against the Grain app. The iTunes store, so make sure you guys check that out. I believe it's also available on Amazon, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, it is.
So yeah, make sure you guys check that out as well on all your platform devices, and download the app as well, and get that nice, cool experience from the app, and to be able to read this really great story in a very new way as well. You can follow Erica on Twitter at eaustin99, I believe, right?
Yes, it is.
So make sure you guys follow her on Twitter and also on Facebook. And anything else I'm missing at all, Erica?
No. It's on the App Store, the Apple App Store, free issue.
So, yeah. So make sure you guys definitely check that out as well. Erica, it was a pleasure. Congratulations on this. Like I said, this is kind of an innovative thing going on right now. And I really look forward to seeing kind of what goes on, and would love to have you back on sometime down the future, maybe when Marcus gets ready to launch, and we get to talk a little bit about that.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been really great. I really appreciate you, having me on the show and giving more, love to Against the Grain. So, yeah, it's been a great experience. Again, thank you.
No problem at all, Erica. We'll talk to you soon. Like I said, hopefully when Marcus comes out. And have a good day, and continued successes with the app.
Okay, thank you again. Have a good one. Bye.
You too. Bye. That was Erica Austin, everybody, at eaustin99 on Twitter. And like I said, go to Facebook and check out Against the Grain comic. If you look it up on Google, you'll be able to find all about it. And like I said, go to your apps and be able to look and see app stores and check and see if you can find the Against the Grain app and kind of check it out. It's really cool. It's a really cool thing in order to do this as well. It's a very unusual thing, to say the least. So definitely check that out as well. Let me take a look and see what we're doing next week. No show on Thursday. I've been kind of neglecting my Thursday shows. I'm sorry about that. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. Let's see here. Coming up next week, we have Doug Briney's coming back. We'll be talking to him a little bit about his work with the National Parkinson's Foundation. And he has a song that he's written for it, too. So it's going to be very interesting to be able to talk to him a little bit about that. You guys can listen to that interview, that live interview, next week, next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you guys check that out as well. Please go to VegasPodcasting.com. I will promise at some point I will update that. I've been busy with other things, so I'll update that as much as possible. At SWIV, at SWIV on Twitter, and somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. You guys can check out some of the stuff over there as well. We'll be with Doug Briney again next week. And then I think the following weekend is Memorial Day, if I'm not mistaken. So we won't have a show on Memorial Day. Please tune in next week for Doug Briney. We thank everybody for joining us. We'll talk to you guys next week.